Now, Father, today in this passage you speak harsh words, particularly to a nation and group of people who are renowned for seeing everyone equal and not being fond of authorities. So I pray that you may help me to be really faithful to your word, not to step to the left or to the right of it, and that you might soften all of our hearts, even when we can't see that they're hardened. And that we do this for the peace and good of our society, but most of all, that people would know you are the power over all things, and you've shown yourself ultimately in Jesus. Amen. It has been some time, I reckon, since we've had an issue where many Christians struggle together on how they should respond to the government telling them to do things. Most of the time, we just sort of bubble along underneath, and there are various bits and pieces that come up. But right at the moment, this is one of these times when COVID-19 has brought up an issue where lots of people are wrestling with, well, how do I respond? And how do I respond to what the government's saying in particular? We're heading into living with our third year of COVID-19 at the moment. And as it drags on, restrictions and changes in restrictions become more taxing. As vaccinations arrive at pace, there are a very small group of people who have varying and often deeply held objections to government advice. And if we look at states like Victoria, we see an acceleration in wanting to apply rules that might make that easier. The Western Downs is now just about under 80% of its people receiving their first vaccination dose. Based on how other rural areas have gone, we're probably on trend to be somewhere around 90% of people kind of receiving their vaccination dose in our population. And yet the government continues to press the accelerator on vaccinations. And it generally seems to be that we have this sense that living with COVID-19 will be normal with as few serious impacts as possible. Now, as a pastor, I could have chosen not to dive headfirst into this. I could have chosen to talk about a bunch of areas where we're not particularly fond of the government and we're split on. But I think this one kind of pokes us in the face. And, you know, to have integrity as a church family, we want to go right at it cautiously and scripturally. I've been talking to lots of my Christian pastor friends, and right now they're saying this is close to the most difficult issue they've ever had to deal with in their churches. Some guys who have been in ministry for 30 or 40 years, they're saying that it's getting very, very difficult as people in their churches move from being mainly spiritually formed by their church family to being spiritually formed in differing tribes on social media and through YouTube. And it's just getting hard. And today's question before us is how much we follow the ruling authorities, the governments, the councils, the public servants, the police. What is the posture of the Christian person? Is it ever right for the Christian person to do what some did yesterday in Melbourne as they protested against the new law? Is that ever okay? And surprisingly, I think the first thing Paul would want to be clear on, and I want to say, is that Christians should challenge those in power and authority. That Paul would like these young churches to know that something has fundamentally changed and there is now a greater ruler in town who sets the agenda. Now, you might not have thought this is something we'd be covering just given the passage that we've read, but given the context of the book, this is perhaps the mindset they're already in. As Paul opens the book of Romans, he describes the Lord Jesus like this: descended from David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the Son of God by his resurrection. Now, the only person called the Son of God in the Roman Empire was the emperor. until now. And the very opening of this letter says to Christians, there is a new and ultimate power in town. The resurrected Son of God, the Lord Jesus. He is our King. And it's a poke in the eye to every human authority that thinks that they're the awesomest. There are those, even in this time, who think there were many gods, and even Roman emperors considered themselves, or at least their fathers, gods. But Paul writes with this powerful, rebellious statement to the young Christians in Rome, in the center of the Roman Empire, where the emperor lives, who lords it over all, and he says to them, I want you to be very clear, Jesus is Lord. And when people accept this reality, that Jesus is Lord, the King over all, the Christian realizes our allegiance is first and foremost to Him over anyone else. We don't simply conform to powers that be just because they are there. There are times that we defy, there are times we disobey because Christ is the King. And with Christ as the real King, we've seen plenty of Christians walk behind Him against the powers and authorities of their day. Acts chapter 4, the Jewish council gathers. They've got the apostles in front of them and they say, you need to stop talking about Jesus. This is disruptive. And Peter and John say to them, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. And they keep speaking. 156 AD, it's the Roman Empire. An old bloke named Polycarp, he's been arrested by one of the Roman governors who is not happy. And Polycarp says, have respect in your old age, swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent and say, away with the atheists. By the atheists, he means the Christians. The Christians were called atheists for a long time because they only followed one God, which blew the mind of the rest of the Roman Empire. The governor says again, swear against Christ and I will set you free. But Polycarp answered to someone greater. 86 years I have served Jesus and he never did me any injury. How can I blaspheme my King and my Saviour? And he died. In the late 1700s, many of you know William Wilberforce, a Christian and British politician who challenged the African slave trade, that set off a spark and burned down one of the most disgusting moments in colonial history. 1930s, a bunch of Germans who came to call themselves the Confessing Church couldn't support the Nazi ideology. They got together and they tried to smuggle and hide out thousands of Jews, many of them to their own death. That is critiquing and challenging those in authority. And Christians ought to do it. Our allegiance is to another. There are times when we challenge those in power over us. Even today, even now. At the moment, we know of. The Christian religion is the number one most persecuted religion again for the third year in a row. Every single day, 13 Christians die worldwide because they refuse to deny their faith like Polycarp. 12 Christian buildings or churches are attacked. 12 Christians are arrested or unjustly in prison. Another 5 are abducted, mostly children. David Curry is the CEO of Open Doors. He says, you might think it's all about oppression, but this really is all about resilience. The number of God's people who are dying should mean that these churches are dying, that Christians are keeping quiet, that they're losing their faith, that they're turning away from one another. But he says, but now what's happening instead in living color, we see the words of God that were recorded in the prophet Isaiah. I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and in the desert. And it's almost for every single Christian they kill, another 2 pop up. They're told to stay quiet and they will not, and they die and yet the church grows. We follow one greater. and times will come where we may have to defy. Because we need to be careful in our context. We need to be careful with our brothers and sisters overseas who face very serious life-threatening persecution, that we don't mistake the persecution we face to be of the same degree of them. We share some, but nothing like they do. Nothing like they do. And we ought to honour them and respect them and learn from them what it means to truly give their entire allegiance to their king. We do disobey the government in some things. And there's a scenario coming ahead where I see we may regard, we may do this with regard to vaccination status and church. Most of you will be living in a world at the moment where access to work sites and workplaces and, you know, just about anything, you need to have a vaccination to prove that you can get in. You need to be checked and do all that. Many people have gotten to the point where they sort of just don't notice it. It's just part of their life. I'd say probably a lot of people are like that. What we're about to see any moment in Queensland is a change in the rules where you'll be denied access to a whole bunch of places if you are not vaccinated. That's what we've been told, and that's what's coming, which really at the moment has nothing particularly to do with being Christian. It just has to do with not being vaccinated. In general, I don't think there are massive reasons to defy those laws. We might not like them. We might not disagree with them. They might be uncomfortable, but they do not prevent us from being Christian or sharing the gospel. Being kept away from golf courses and cafes is not ideal, and if it happened for a long time, I think we would get pretty tired of it. But we just got to keep it in perspective. And I know that some of you are choosing for various reasons not to be vaccinated, and you know you're going to be paying that cost. I want to be really clear with the whole of the church family at this point that whether you are vaccinated or not is not a clear issue of sin. There are kind of three categories we use as Christians to decide things. One is it trivial? Will I have Fruit Loops or Weet-Bix for breakfast? There is no major gospel impact there, all right? Terry, you can have both. Then there are areas of wisdom, which range on the spectrum from not so serious to quite serious, which can be quite difficult to figure out. And brothers and sisters of true faith and great intellect will believe completely opposing things, and God would say to either of those things, that's a faithful thing to do. And then we move into those areas of sin where the Bible couldn't be any more clear that God says, no, that's not okay. When we come to vaccination, we are sitting in an area of wisdom. For myself, in order to help the government, I think the wise thing to do is to get vaccinated. I've done that. But church family, especially those of you who are vaccinated, you ought not think more highly of yourselves than others because you have been. You ought not. And those of you who have not been ought not think more highly of yourselves because you haven't been. It's a challenge for us to learn how to speak about issues of wisdom without pushing major gospel issues out of the way. Perhaps a time to listen. And can I say, if you know someone who's doing something different to you, particularly someone who's unvaccinated, please don't assume you know why they're doing it, because it's not all the same. I've tried to talk at length with people who are not doing the same thing as me, and the reasons are so varied and more costly for some and less costly for others. So as a church family, I want to encourage you to listen and remember that what we share is a bond in Christ. Let us seek the peace of our community. Let us be serious about our conscience and wisdom. Let us listen to each other. Let's leave wisdom areas as wisdom areas, be serious about the sin areas, and have fun with the trivial ones. But let me say, if it came to needing to be vaccinated to be at church, that would be a different thing. For myself, if our government said you need to be vaccinated in order to enter a building and hear the gospel, in my conscience, I could not do that. And I would not do that. The elders and I got together on Wednesday night because we thought, you know, we should give you guys our thoughts on this before this Sunday. At the moment, there are no changes to our restrictions, right? There are no changes even when December 17 arrives. The government has indicated in the background to the Cross Churches Working Group there'll be no change. There's been no changes written in the kind of thingy things they've released. So at the moment, it looks like no changes. But if it did, the elders would explore every opportunity to allow everyone to be part of what happens at DPC, regardless of vaccine status. And I would feel very strongly about that. And I want you to know that if there are consequences for that, those consequences will primarily fall on me as the one who signs our COVID paperwork. But I do not think I can, in good conscience, follow a law like that. God willing, we don't get there. And God willing, other states move back very quickly. As Christians in our society, there's a place for activism against the political process, a place for protest, a place for outright refusing to conform. But we're meant to be preaching on Romans 13, because there's a sense here where Paul says the exact opposite, that the government is there because God has put them there, and Christians should, as far as possible, submit to them. You remember that this church is a young church. It's consisting of mainly Gentiles who don't know a great deal about the Old Testament God, and a smaller group of Jews who do, who have just returned back to the church after the government said you can come back. And it's likely these two groups have very different attitudes to the governing authorities. The Jews probably do not like them, understandably. The Gentiles have probably become used to dealing with them. But Paul says now the way you deal with them is in light of Christ. Remember the point of the book. The point of the book is to unite them, to give them endurance, to encourage them, to give them the same attitude and mind toward each other that Christ Jesus has, so that with one mind and one voice they may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes this section to make sure they don't misunderstand that Jesus is the new overall Lord. And he's very clear in this passage in verse 1 and verse 5. Submit to those in authority. Submit to those in authority. If you know a little bit about Australian history, both Tasmania and Queensland are second offender colonies. If you were a convict to escape, you got sent to either Queensland or Tasmania because they were the really bad places. So both of us are really good at disobeying authorities by history, apparently. And Paul was not naive about bad governments, right? He wasn't naive about bad governments at all. It's not as though he bathed in the free healthcare of Canada his whole life. He was very aware of the many gods of the state religion of Rome. He was aware of their flair for brutality. He knew that they killed people for entertainment. He knew that they pushed Jews out of the town. He knew that they had executed them. So even with these leaders, with these laws, with this worldview, Paul says to the Christians, submit to the governing authorities. That is a very powerful call. And he most likely writes it from jail. It's an amazing thing that God's supremacy overall reshapes our worldview. But the reason Paul can say is submit to those in authority, even when they're not great, is because he knows those authorities don't have power over death. They don't. The only authority they have is the authority that God lets them have. As Jesus is about to die You can see him staring Pilate in the face as Pilate makes the cowardly move that he knows is wrong. And Jesus says to him, there's no authority except that which God has established. You would have no power over me unless it were given to you. We are to submit because the government is under God, established by God, God's means of governing the world. So that means the Labor government in Queensland is in power only because God says so. The coalition government is in power in Australia only because God says so. At the moment, it seems as though God is trying to win over about half of each of the population where we are. But just to make it even more radical than that, forget about nice, modern, democratically elected governments. They're a really new thing. Every kind of king and queen was only there because God allowed them to be. Every tribal eldership in power was only there because God allowed them to be. Every communist party, every dictator, every police officer, every parking officer, every single government is in place only because God has allowed them to be there. And our gut feel should be to submit to the authorities. To submit to the authorities. You know, in Australia, one of our sports is making fun of authorities. This is really applicable to us. And firstly, I think one of the things we need to ongoingly pray for is that our hearts become thankful for authorities by default. How often do we complain about politicians or whinge about taxes or just this general cynicism when it comes to those in authority? Yet we should have a mindset of being thankful to God for our governments, because the good things, when you've got them, you do not see them. I do not see the massive sewage pipe running down the easement behind my house, but I'm really glad it's there. Our governments are put here for our good, for our peace, for our prosperity. They are there to give law and order. They're there to make education is supplied, arts are promoted, the environment is protected, and services are provided for the weak and the vulnerable. And every time you drive down a road or turn on a tap or get a cheaper prescription at the chemist or watch your favourite show on the ABC, I'm sure someone has a favourite show on the ABC, it is because of our government. We can complain forever and a day that they're not quite doing the job that we want, or they're not quite doing the perfect job, and they're not. They're not. That's heaven. And yes, as these restrictions go on for a while, different brothers and sisters will make different decisions about where they think the government may have gone too far. But verse 7, it encourages us to pay our taxes, our revenue, give them our respect, give them our honour. Esteem those who are in positions of authority. The first thing we ought to do as Christians is be thankful, to pray to be thankful. Here's number two. I want us to think about submitting to the whole idea of authorities as being able to punish those who do wrong. God has given them tools to move individuals and populations. One of the lines I've seen around an awful lot in the last kind of year or so is about the government shouldn't coerce people. It's actually not a Christian idea. It's not Christian theology. And this passage, along with some stuff in 2 Peter, is the theological basis for saying governments have the power to coerce in order to get people to do things. Verse 3, rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but they do for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. They are given the power of the sword. Governments are given all kinds of powers to coerce people. Now, of course, there are examples after examples where governments coerce when they shouldn't. Of course. And that's the kind of stuff we need wisdom to kind of figure out. but they are allowed to coerce their people. It's the power that God gives them to try and bring peace and order and prosperity to his people. It's difficult to accept. We don't love the idea, but it's certainly in the text. In fact, one Christian writer I was reading said it's only a slight exaggeration that the history of the interpretation of this passage is the history of attempts to avoid what seems to be its plain meaning. It means I probably got it wrong too. But it's hard. You know, we want to be thankful. We want to realize they are allowed to coerce and punish. They've been given that ability. And the final thing we want to think about is we shouldn't just follow them because they're chasing us with a stick, right? We should be good to them because they're good in what they do. God has put them there. And Paul says, because of conscience. We should just do the right thing because of conscience. Submit to the governing authorities, not only because it avoids punishment, but because it makes things good and easier for our society. It's the right thing to do. And it's a motivation that will last a lot longer than being begrudging, but we need help. We need help to have hearts that joyfully submit to try and make our government's job easier. Because we all do so many little things to not obey them. And I don't know if you tick any of these boxes. It might just me. There are times where you might declare some things on income tax that aren't quite right. There are times where you might go, there's just no way you can go 50 kilometres per hour on this road. There'll be times when you do all sorts of things that you think this is a little breaking of the law because the government's wrong. We ought to work at doing what we can to support them. Because really, the reason we break those laws is not for the good of our country, it's for our own benefit. There's this one that just might be me ranting, but I don't know when it became acceptable for Christians to share login details to streaming services across multiple households, despite the fact that every single terms and condition says, don't share login details across multiple households. It's meant to be so Gavin can play Minecraft in the corner and Russell can watch a fishing show in the other room. Not so that people in two different states can watch different movies. And yet for Christians, it's somehow become the acceptable sin. I really don't understand it. It's $15 a month. Is it really worth $15? A bit of extra entertainment is really worth not living up to God's mercy that he's poured out on us to join in Jesus Christ. Being a Christian changes the kind of citizen we are. We know the lordship of Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the real king, and he is better than any leader we are ever going to have. And because of that, we don't simply conform to power. But also the Lord Jesus has put those powers in place for our good, and we're called to submit. And if we're not to submit, we would want to have a very, very good reason not to. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there has been a long and ongoing conspiracy against God that if you ever give me the chance to talk about, I will again and again, where the forces of evil are lined up against God and the Lord Jesus and every single person of Christ with the hope that they will die a painful death and lose their power. It is a very public conspiracy. It's in the Bible. It's been there for all to see, and it ought to be the conspiracy that drives us with passion towards God and drives us with passion towards evangelism. And I almost feel sad myself that it takes other issues like this to ignite my passion. When the big issue is already there. We should passionately do all we can in submission of or challenge to our governing authorities with one aim. So with the same attitude of the mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. Father, you've delivered a hard word to us, but maybe at a time we need it. I can feel you at work in this room, one of those times when I sense as a preacher that you challenge the heart of people onto all kinds of thoughts, and even my own. Would you help us to be a congregation that listens really closely to your word? Help us be a congregation that listens really closely to each other. Help us be a congregation that hears the hurts of each other as we struggle with wisdom choices that we've made. Help us to be prepared to be shown to be wrong. Help us be prepared to declare others right. But more than anything, show us that everything in the evil authorities and the evil world is out to see you go down. And the devil looks for every opportunity to mess us up. So, Lord, this moment, can you use it not to mess us up, but to make us more mature? And in doing that, that your name would be glorified, that people would look on and say, how can they all think different things like that, but have so much love for each other and more than that, the God that they follow? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.